Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with Cook and Helen this Monday afternoon, 23rd of August, 71, around supper time. Channel 2 Right, beginning of the visit with Cook and Helen this Monday afternoon, this 23rd of August, 71, about supper time. Channel 2 Right, and beginning of this visit with Cook and Helen this Monday afternoon, 23rd of August, 71, about supper time. They're taking off and relaxing a little bit from all the company, the funeral of Uncle Cluster.
Yeah,
the
girls,
they're sweeping the train.
You don't need a cup of coffee.
So many things I should be doing, I just didn't feel like doing them.
Well, this is right.
That's the way
I feel. Every time I sit down, I want to lay down.
You want to go farther.
And I want you to know my legs. I've just done so much running. My legs are...
Your legs?
Eight. Yes, sir.
Last night, it looked to me like what was troubling you was your head. It wouldn't stay up.
I hadn't had no sleep. I'd had 2 hours sleep in 3 days and 2 nights.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Yeah.
That's right. I don't know.
They got you out at 4:30. When was that? Friday night?
Yeah.
Friday morning.
Friday morning.
That's right. Friday morning.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
So you went to work on that?
Yeah, we went right. We got right busy. I didn't stop. But what time did they pull out today?
Today, 1:00.
They pulled out 1:00. I never stopped at 1:00 today, and I went right straight to the bed and laid down, slept for an hour.
Yeah.
About a little time of sherbet. Oh,
that'd be nice, eh?
Sheriff, what about you? A little time of sherbet.
Wouldn't hurt him. Give him no
idea.
Just spoonful.
Yeah.
No, Grandma Todd called this morning. She said, "Now, I'd like to cook dinner for the family before they leave." Well, I said they plan to leave before that. As soon as we get home, they change clothes. And then Leo got into this work, and he found out he had a little bit more done, a little bit more to do, a little bit more to do, and it ended up, I warmed up and fixed and found, without trying to cook, just find what I already had fixed, I could warm up, you know, put on the table. So it was 1:00 then on me.
But I want to tell you guys, I don't know when my dad has enjoyed himself more than he did sitting right there last night.
I tell you, he needs to come down and stay a little longer.
Yeah.
He can't never get his talking all done.
He seemed like he was sort of relaxed last night. Now, yesterday morning when he come, he was all geared up.
He was tense, on edge.
Well, we hadn't been over, you know.
Yeah.
Had to get over there and everything, and that was on his mind. And that was enough to keep him, you know.
But now last night he was, he was relaxed and everything. We done him, he talked about it all the way home, about how it relaxed him just to come down and sit down and talk.
It did.
Yeah.
And another thing that he asked me to tell you. When Uncle Cluster was in the hospital after the First World War, after he got gassed, he wrote a poem. He had a fifth grade education, and he wrote a poem about his mother. And I didn't know that until. They read it at the funeral.
Oh, is that what they were talking about? I'm trying to get rid of that thing. It's right here in my nose.
And Daddy told me, he said, now since Mr. Miles has got more education than we have. He said, when you get your photostatic copy of it, he said, I want you to let him read that and see what he thinks about it.
They read two verses. That was all they read, just two. But it was two or three pages. I didn't read it. It was passing around, but it wasn't passed my way, and I didn't ask.
There's five pages out.
Yeah. It was Uncle Cluster that was gassed in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And he's the one who wrote the poem. That's after when he was
recuperating.
Yeah.
So, he did. He asked me to... Let you read it and
who has a copy?
Bernard. Uncle Custer's son has the original copy.
Yeah.
He's getting some photostatic copies made. Some copies made.
Yeah, just deal with the drug stores. They'll Xerox it for you.
Well, now, maybe that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Have
he
a Xerox.
Yeah.
But,
anyway, he's going to have it fixed.
He's going to have it fixed. And also, his whereabouts, all the time he was in Germany, I'll have a copy of that also. There's five pages all together.
Yeah. Busy passing around, but I didn't.
And the paper is so old,
yellow with age.
With age, and the paper clip that holds it together is just about rusted away.
That's curious, isn't it?
Just about rusted away.
Which reminds me, I have a part of the story.
You get what you can when you can.
That should be something done to it.
You tie yourself in knots.
Just getting comfortable.
Yeah, if that's comfortable, you look at that. I get right back. Now, what you need to do, you see, the copies are, you know, so much more permanent than the old stuff. You ought to put the old stuff in the bank box. That's what we used to say, you know, and just say they copied. Well, I got so I use them all the time, and they make them up at the office, but they're so tedious up there. You have to leave them overnight. They're sort of, and you get impatient. You go down the street there, and they'll run them off right there.
Right now.
You don't have to make another trip. And the cost is not enough to...
Well, I have a story written by a great-great-uncle, or great-great-uncle, or something or other. I don't know just what's the real... I believe it's a great-uncle. Written about the Indians in West Virginia. I don't think it'd be much use, though, to have written it copied at all. I can't even read it myself.
Yeah.
I'd love to read it. I'd like to know what it's all about. It's supposed to be history.
Yeah.
When the Indians were in West Virginia, but I just can't read it. Maybe it was my great grandfather. I've forgotten now. Just he's put away. I still have him.
I don't go into much of history. So you'd think I would, but I don't.
It's material I had one time. I should have taken back home to Daddy, and I just didn't do it. And
well, Guy, Cookie had to practically overhaul that car. Not just tune it up, but practically overhaul it.
What car?
My brother-in-law.
He welded the shock.
Had to weld the shock back on. Shock bracket. The frame was broken too on it. Had to weld it back together. And I put plugs, points, and condenser in it and cranked it up, and the water just flew. Had to put a hose on it.
Wouldn't it have been nice for them to get here?
I don't know.
I don't know.
He sent Laura, and the funny part about it, he sent Laura to buy the hose, and she ran out of gas. She had to walk back home. That's a car parked in the middle of the dirt road. She's making cut with shortcut to Hawthorne, you know,
yeah,
over to buy the park. Here she came, just burning up in the heat of the day, carrying a water hose in one hand.
She had to get a gas can,
take Junior with it, go back, buy gas, put in the car to get both cars back on. I mean, to get the car back on. While Leo was putting the hose on.
Amazing they got off at 1 o'clock.
Well, Grandma, one of them went out the door whistling, Grandma says, or singing. Grandma said, that's it. Said, you might as well sing. Said, you aren't going anyplace yet. They had been packed. And
so you had to tune it up and put the water hose on?
Well. And after the barrel, we had to get back in town to buy the plugs. But we didn't have, when we got over there this morning, we didn't have time to go to the parts store to get them before we had to wait until afterwards and then go back to the same place, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Just down the street from where. So it ended up they had just almost as many as they had yesterday, so they had to get a police escort.
Oh, really?
Almost the same amount of cars. As they had yesterday. Oh, well, just about. They were surprised. Didn't think they'd get the company, you know, be very many to come back.
Now, who is this sister? Is she, what's her name?
Alberta.
Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name?
Junior.
Ashley.
Junior
Ashley.
That's Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's my sister next to me.
Oh.
Ooh.
And they live close to that, too?
What's that, 20?
About 23 miles from Daddy.
What does he do?
He works for Union Carbide. They're in Charleston.
Now, they own the farm adjoining.
Joining
his mom and dad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But his mother and father live on the farm.
Ooh.
And they own a home in Clendenin. They live, that's closer, a little bit closer, out on the highway for him to get back and forth to work, in other words.
How far is that from Charleston, where you live?
25 miles.
Yeah. And he works here in Carbide. Has been there a good while?
20 years.
Good while.
And he's not as old as I am.
Yeah.
He's 42.
Yeah. He looks like he's in pretty good health.
Oh, yeah. He's much of a man.
You mean he can do some work?
I'm sure he knows.
You have to put your finger on it.
Explain it.
Draw him a map and draw him a picture 99 times out of 100.
Well, your daddy was talking about him putting in the pump, you know, back when they connected the electricity.
Well, that was my brother that put the pump in.
Well, that wasn't
this
Alvin.
One. No,
that
wasn't
this
one.
One.
He
no.
Never made it.
Gosh, he can hardly turn the spigot on to get water out, let alone put a pump in.
So ain't no use of his coming around. He can't fix nothing.
He's there it up.
He's just there. But he's good hearted. He'll do anything in the world that you show him how to do.
He's been awfully good to them.
Oh.
You know that.
And he's the only one that would take off from work and bring Mom and Dad in.
Is that right?
Well, now he wasn't the only one. Larry said he would, and had made arrangements too, but Larry wasn't able.
He wasn't able, and Daddy didn't want to ride in that Volkswagen.
And Lawrence said he would. No, but some of them ended up with the mumps.
He would, but something was in the way.
Yeah.
They would, but...
But,
that's right.
Well, now, what's the girl's name?
Alberta.
Alberta has the three boys.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, whose age are they? Haired Ann?
11, 13, and 15.
Yeah.
One's close to Haired Ann's age, and one's a little younger than Sarah.
Yeah.
A little bit older than Becky.
Can,
tween, in other
can
words.
They work?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Can they?
They've been around Daddy long enough, so Daddy cracks the whip.
They work.
Oh, don't tell me.
They worked in the hay this summer, too.
Yes. Oh, they did.
Oh, yes.
You know, I was cute last night. He's looking back, you know, and he says he always figured that the corn ought to be on the hills and all the weeds ought to be out of it.
Right.
And now you see that you don't put it on hills and you don't even hoe it and you fertilize it broadcast.
You don't even cut the weeds out of it.
Yeah. Just let it outgrow.
And believe you me, when he had corn on the hill, the weeds were out of it.
As far as you could see. You could see them rows on that mountain, rows of corn.
Is that right?
Prettiest sight you ever looked at.
Well, Cookie, when you cultivated up there, how'd you get the dirt to stay? Terry?
Well, red clay mud doesn't slide very easy.
Red clay doesn't slide like sand does.
Yeah.
When you put it, it stays.
It wasn't exactly humus.
No.
Or muck.
No, sir.
And you know, there's several rocks you can always power in to hold it.
Roots and so forth.
Well, I'll tell you one thing he didn't take to them. He didn't take to this August weather down here, did he?
Mm-hmm. Well, they've had it cold.
It's not been above 80 degrees all summer.
80's
up there.
The hottest they've had, and it gets cold at night. Every night has been cold.
And he says it rained so much it couldn't do anything.
It did. Rained so much it couldn't do nothing.
Well, you know what happened here. We had 3 days of hay weather, and we haven't had any since.
That's right.
I got that alpaca gold, but it's wet. I'm going to have to take it back out there.
How many bales did you pick up?
Well, the way you had it set, very few. All the hay is in one bale.
We both cut you. I didn't have sense enough to loosen it. I loosen it all the way around, and still
I tell you, you see, when it's damp, it's packed so much.
It packs so much tighter when it's
oh,
at least
Lord.
Bit
oh,
damp.
Oh, Lord. I don't know how I'd get so much in there. It's got so much I couldn't hardly pick them up.
One that was halfway through that was finally got it loosened up.
Yesterday, I lectured Faye. She's sitting back there, and she's adjusting the thing. I said, say, hell, all I can do is run the tractor. You're going to have to learn how to do all this back here.
First time I get my fingers cold, I'm going to quit haying for good. Never go out.
I've been expecting that whole summer.
You got to look up here and keep your finger from getting cut, and look down here and see if the hay bale's all right. Look over this nail and see if it's long enough. I'm telling you, that's more than I can do.
Been a lot to watch.
And guy said, Cookie works it all the time. I said, hell, Cookie's used to it.
Cookie goofed one time back there. He got them bales so heavy, and then Jim got them in there. That's when they looked like a nest, a little chicken nest. And I had to haul them out there, put them up, scatter the hay. Let them stay out there a while, rake it all up, deal it all. I'm telling you, it's endless, isn't it?
God, I'll tell you what we need.
We need some good sunshine. Nothing will help like sunshine. Right.
And we need that down here in about a month.
Yeah. He'd get us off our cans, wouldn't he?
Now, let me tell you. I believe a little persuasion, he'd come right on down.
I believe he's liking it better all the time. Another trip or two might do it.
I tell you, a lot of people don't care for this.
But now, Grandma would come right now.
Mama would come down here right now and stay.
She would. Oh, yeah.
Yes, my fella.
She's worked hard. It's hard work on a farm, as you know.
She's much slighter than I remember from the other trip.
Oh, she lost a lot of weight this summer.
She's worked.
Yeah. Lost about 20 pounds.
Boy, is that what happened?
Yeah.
With Mr. Cook. Oh,
she had to do her work and his, too.
Yeah. Well, now,
You ought to seen under this T-shirt. Did you see that, Helen?
No, but I felt the knots.
You ought to seen it.
Well, he wouldn't let on anything happened to him.
Guy, it's as black I mean, he has got a whole blue streak all the way down.
Still got it there.
It's still there.
And there he sat over there just exercising like Atlas.
Well, he's certainly a healthy looking and a handsome looking dog. Yeah,
like Paul Bernard said.
I believe I told Leo just a few minutes ago, we were sitting over there talking, I think the biggest thing wrong with Grandpa, he gets lonesome.
Bored.
That's right.
Nobody to talk to. And since Frank's been up there to where he could get out with Frank and Frank could be with him,
that's helped.
Just helped a lot.
But he gets bored. He just gets the same old thing all the time, and you don't see anyone unless you go someplace, and you don't have time to go anyplace. You have to work.
You're pretty well tied down.
You surely are.
Yeah.
It's like he said, only time you see anyone is when someone dies, you have to dig the grave. And he's had his share of that lately.
Yeah. Well, there ain't no little shower, but it's such a light shower, not doing any good.
It just messes everything. That's the kind of shower it is.
It messes you up.
Potato wagons.
Well, they are pretty well situated then. They've got the old home place where they can, boys can work. Then they live down there in distance of the Charleston thing.
Yeah.
That's about as much as you can ask, isn't it?
That's right, and he's been there 20 years, and they've laid off. He told me last night, he said, they've got to lay off 87 more men before they get to me. 87.
They go by the seniority.
Seniority.
So you've got to be there 20 years before you've got much of a chance, haven't you?
And then he's worried about it. He's worried about being laid off after being working there 20 years.
Or can he can make it by himself?
No.
Take that wicked check.
See, they have two homes.
He makes twice as much an hour as I do.
Keep up.
Just twice as much as I do.
Yeah, and they live pretty well.
I think so.
They added an upstairs to their home where they live.
Yeah.
They aren't quite finished. But
if they have it, it costs them these days. They don't get anything given away now.
Nope.
No, sir, they don't give it away. You want to put it in a house, you can, or cars, or equipment.
What have you?
It's going to cost you. You're going to pay for it. And the trading days are over, Cookie. You can't trade for it.
No.
But let me tell you, if it was up to me to live where they live, I live under a rock cliff.
How's that?
It's straight up.
Oh, really?
Slide off in the wintertime if you can get up to slide off.
Where their home is?
Where they're in, yes.
In Clendenin.
The street is like that.
And they just like it up there where they can see it.
Now, his brother lives on the right, you can go up and level off into the driveway.
Yeah.
But Alberta goes next to the top, last one, and you just angle in. And hope it don't fall back down.
You got a driveway straight up the hill, and when you go off,
you just go this way, and you're still up the hill.
You're still up the hill.
And when you can't turn a big car around up there to save your neck.
Yeah.
My brother had to buy a Volkswagen till he could turn it around and his carport.
Oh, that's why you got to.
Now I just wouldn't. It's like Alice said this morning. She said, you know, she said you can stand off on Junior's porch. and see all of town. I said, no wonder if I lived that high on the hill, I could too.
Yeah.
Straight up.
But he bought him a Volkswagen. He's got a double carport. And he bought him a Volkswagen until he turned around in his carport.
Now that's some place to live, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't live up there. They couldn't run fast enough to give me them.
Well, I don't even like to go see him when I go home. But that's how much I think of it. I just don't like it. I just don't like it. When I park, I like to be on level ground. But
well,
when you go into Alberta, you just go in on the slant and hope it doesn't, hope the brakes hold.
Well, like we used to say about flying when I was overseas, it's a nice, good, sunny day in the daytime. It's all right. But it don't, sun don't shine every day. And planes don't run every day. Sometimes it's night. So.
The people that lived in Junior's house before him, it'd come a rain one evening. And then that night it got way down almost zero weather, cold, and that water on the street froze. And the next morning, when he got up, his car had slid all the way through his neighbor's fence and into his garden. He had to get a wrecker to pull it out.
Just one example. In 9 of these 10 districts, majorities from 51% to 89% were in favor of pulling out of Vietnam altogether by the end of 1971. Yet, when a resolution saying precisely that came up before the House, 9 of these 10 congressmen voted against it. All 9, of course, would explain why they voted against it, but the fact remains they did not vote the views of the people who elected them. Nobody thinks every congressman in every case can vote the views of the majority. Often the majority is not well informed, just doesn't know all of the facts. But when 9 out of 10 congressmen vote against the wishes of the voters in 9 out of 10 districts, it is not hard to see why the American people are turned off by politicians. A member of Congress does not necessarily possess any more revealed truth than anyone else. And while occasionally it is necessary and wise to go against the majority, it is not to do so most of the time. And so, again, it is no wonder vast numbers of people feel turned off, feel that when their wishes are known and well known, they are ignored. David Brinkley, NBC News, Washington.
How about that? Now, this is the most rain we've had now in all this threatening weather. This is not much, is it?
Well, sounds like it could be more later. You never know.
Shirley, if they talked to Shirley, she went over the telephone call some of the people from town and caught old Burma with pay down. He put up 9,500 bales and they're damp and he got to take them out of it. Well, Shirley's been ailing all summer, you know. She had something wrong with one organ and another. She got so excited, she just got up out of bed and went out there and started handling hay. It'll do it, won't it? Everybody goes out and works in the hay. If it don't kill you, it may kill you. You just take a chance.
And they've just got 200 bales, and they have that big shed. That's all they've got. And they got all that hay to cut.
Where did Uncle Cluster live?
1912 Northeast 8th Street.
I mean, up there.
Gandyville.
How far is that from your daddy?
35 miles.
Yeah. And that's where he always lived? At least for a long time?
Yeah. That's where he raised his family.
Yeah. 35 miles.
His oldest boy is either 49 or 50, and I don't know which.
What did he do most of his life?
Worked for the state. He was in Roan County where he lived. He was in charge of all secondary roads. All secondary roads for about 12 years. The last 12 years he worked.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't help but get ahead with that system, could he?
Oh, he made good money. Always made big money.
Oh, really?
And spent it.
Really live well.
Always live well.
I mean, change subject, but did you know for Pitt's sheriff again? In his 80s?
83 years old and deputy sheriff.
What's that?
My uncle.
Uncle Pitt Rogers, 83 years old and is deputy sheriff of Roan County.
How about that?
Roan County just made me think of it. I didn't know whether they had told him that or not. I was so surprised.
83 years old and deputy sheriff.
Well, he was deputy sheriff for years and retired. And
well, that's pretty vigorous stock then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I imagine they look with some little...
They look with, when they see that gentleman roll up, they look with respect.
Yeah.
Well, I think your papa could be a pretty good deputy sheriff. Like he, probably in the family.
But when they look at the younger generation, they have misgivings, don't they?
Yeah. Like my first cousin said, told me yesterday. He says, you know, he said, back when Dad and your dad and them boys was growing up, he said, you know, they must have been wheel horse of a man. He said, they really must have been men. He said, they're made out of iron.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what Aunt Mabel said. When she drove down, she didn't drive, their daughter, she's Grandpa's sister. She said, I asked her how she made the trip. Oh, fine. She said, you know, I'm just an iron woman. Made of iron.
Yeah.
That was just the expression she used. Mm-hmm. You know, they...
Mm-hmm. Work steady all the time.
Three left in that family.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the third one?
Uncle Bob. He's in the...
Well, that's the one that's
sick. Oh, yeah.
He's in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He's still living, but he don't know what...
Now, when you were growing up, did you see much of Uncle Cluster?
Oh, yeah.
This one that was here last night, Alberta, she stayed 1 year with him, went to school.
Oh, yeah.
So you felt like you belonged to a pretty...
Yes.
Family.
Yes, sir.
You felt like you belonged to a pretty good size outfit.
I have to tell you, Uncle Cluster, he was just another daddy to me. I mean, there ain't no getting around it.
Yeah.
And it's like Bernard told the rest of the boys over there the other night. I thought we was talking about daddy. And he said, now Uncle Burl is the only daddy we got left.
That we can go to. He meant, you know, he
said, Uncle Burl is the only daddy we got left now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He acted just like Leo said. They had actions alike.
Oh, really?
Looked alike.
When Larry was down here with their little baby, Tabitha Lynn, she's just a year old. She went to Uncle Cluster just right now. She thought it was her granddaddy.
Mm-hmm.
They looked so much alike. She couldn't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Our girls were close to when they... In fact, you know, we were older just last week, Tuesday.
Oh, really?
We were over there Tuesday afternoon, and Alice and Becky sat on his lap and combed his hair, and
yeah.
They parted in the middle, and they parted, you know, just combed and combed and combed. He played with him, and
awesome.
We talked about different things. Grandma Todd was with us, and we talked about ages and reunions and, you know, just how you do when you get together, you know, and even talked about Bernard had even mentioned taking him to the Cook reunion, which is next, this coming Sunday, asking if he wanted to go, that he'd be glad to take him. He'd like to go, and he'd like to take him. And he said, no, he was telling us that just from getting ready to leave. He said, no, said, I just told him I just didn't think I was able. He said, I'm getting to old. I said, oh, I said, plus you aren't old. He says, well, I'm getting up there. And I said, well, I told about Miss Holbeck, and I said, now she's 87. He said, yes, he said, she hadn't had as many things wrong with her as I have. He said, I'm just getting old. And that was the last thing he told me when we left. But we were, yeah, it was Tuesday. We were over there Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Laura was off, and we went over.
That run the day the vet came.
Yeah.
Same day?
Same day. We went over that afternoon. We went on into Gainesville and went over there in the afternoon.
Yeah.
No, we were by ourselves that day. That was Thursday we were here, the vet came.
Yeah.
Tuesday is when Laura was off Tuesday and Thursday. And Tuesday is when we went into Gainesville and went over to Ann Arthur. But he trimmed his blackberry vines and took the lawnmower and cut up his bean vines. They were always busy.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Quilt, you know how the women used to quilt years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a quilt in.
Oh.
They'd been quilting, and they, I don't know if she finished it or not. It wasn't that they took it down. But she had a quilt up. She kept one up most all the time. When they were idle, couldn't do anything, she quilted. She had to keep busy. But you know, she was so good, he was a diabetic. She made all of his jelly. She made all of his pastries so he could eat it. She made it. She had a certain one that was real good, sponge cake, but it was a diabetic recipe. She made everything, and she saw everything he had, everybody he ate was just as it should be. And that's the only thing he ate. And she put it on his plate.
You know, it's a curious thing that salt and sugar are the critical items.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That is.
And the most necessary items to make food taste good.
Yeah. Yeah, just a standard seasoning, you might say. You call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now you don't have to have that sugar. You can use artificial sugar. I think what people ought to do is start using artificial stuff. Every now and then, just get used to it, just like you all use powdered milk.
I use artificial sweetener.
Yeah.
And I can get by with it.
Yeah.
They even say it's not, you know, they said it's dangerous. Yeah.
Well, Helen, you know what? We're going to get some company for them kids allowed to be over here.
If it thunders, more like it did, I expect them. Well, they'll be undercover.
Okay, like
they're over there. They're cleaning the trailer for us.
Right.
And they were going to wash the truck, but it looks to me like the Heavenly Father washed the truck. He just didn't add the soap.
Well, it always takes a little rubbing, I find.
Well, that's the only part that wasn't added.
Yeah.
He supplied the water.
Well, now this is the first shower we've had in all this threatening weather.
What about the tropical depression? Have you heard anything more about this tropical business?
No. Thank you, Bubba.
And I heard him say last week something about Monday it might hit. Maybe this is it.
Last tropical depression we got when we got all that rain, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cedar Key was so messed up.
We got everything except the wind.
Mm-hmm.
This grass edible. At this time, yeah, it sure gets tough. Oh, it gets tough.
Last night when we came in, I stopped down there at where the horses stand, and Daddy yelled at old Babe. Them horses threw their head up and just come a running.
Oh, that tickled him.
He said, you know, so them horses is fatter right now than they ever was in their life.
Mm-hmm. He was even, what was it, the size of the collar that it'd take to fit, babe?
He said, you'd have to buy bigger collars for him before you ever work them hard.
He was measured and he had them all figured out.
Just tickled to death because them horses
and had to give a piece of peppermint candy.
Oh, he did.
He sure did.
Rowdy ate it, but Bay wouldn't. Bay wouldn't eat it. So Rowdy ate two pieces.
Right.
He gave the other piece to Rowdy.
That's right.
That's
right.
He said he'd like them down here to stay about a month.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
All the year is the nicest.
Well, you know, they've
nice
never
everywhere.
Been down here
nice
in any time. Now, my dad would love it down here once he'd ever get here.
Spring, somehow, I don't know, the springs down here, no, I've never quite learned how to take them. It's, you'd think it's warm, but it's got cool air stirring all the time. I think that's probably it.
I think the spring of the year is pretty. My weeds grow up by the fall.
Yeah. October is usually the night anywhere you go.
Yes.
Yeah. November's nice. A little frost. Very light frost. Killing frost and it melts first thing next morning.
That's all we need though, just one. Then everything's dead. One real big frost. Well, I heard that your mom say that the frost would get her tomatoes. They hadn't had a tomato out of the garden yet. They're all green.
What?
It's so cold that they won't. The tomatoes won't ripen.
She said. Well, Alberta said. She said, you know, the frost was going to get mom's tomatoes. Said they just aren't. Right.
Not enough sunshine.
Now hers, they were late, you know, getting them out. But now Alberta had plenty, and I meant to bring you some, and I forgot it. She left some at the house.
Oh, and they're so much better than tomatoes.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me you had a tomato? I was wanting something to eat.
Didn't you look in the bottom of the refrigerator?
I haven't eaten. All I've eaten is a bowl of cereal all day long.
You didn't want anything. Yes, some of those that Alberta brought, real good, juicy.
I got up this morning and I just absolutely couldn't eat.
Well, you pretty well carried the load of it down here, didn't you?
Me and Bernie carried all the load.
And it was right smart too.
A lot of it today.
Getting in touch with a lot of people?
Getting in touch with a lot of people, doing this and that, and getting flowers, and then they get them all, and
then we had to call and find out about that, and then they sent a peace offering. They're supposed to. I don't know whether they sent it or not. So, I was up 6:30 this morning to bake the cake.
Yeah, and you had to. Meet the bus.
Had to meet the bus and gather up all that stuff. Saturday.
And that bus is a good ways off.
It was a good ways off Saturday.
Oh, you had to wait
1:20.
Instead of 12:20.
Instead of 12:20.
I like the shape of the jar. I've just never seen
them. Well, you go to the bathroom and see what the kids do.
Okay.
See, think you give them enough time to do what they're going to do?
No, they may be undercover if it thunders. They're afraid.
Now, what do they do when it's a good streak of lightning like that?
They jump just like we did.
You know, all four of us.
I did.
Do your kids scare each other? That is an old trick people, children used to have when
I used to
up.
Yeah.
You'd slip up on them and
scare. Oh, Frank's a good hand for that.
Called up home this morning and talked to Frank. And he said, ask Grandpa if there's hay weather tomorrow, if we can go ahead and cut some hay.
So they're waiting for hay weather too.
They're waiting for hay weather too. And Frank, he's watching the weather. He said, and if there's a hay weather, is it all right if we go ahead and cut hay? And he'll get out there and cut the fool out of it.
Well, your daddy will be there. Give him the green light, won't he?
He doesn't give him the green light.
He told him that Larry will be there.
He said, now if it's weather, go ahead and cut it.
And your brother Larry.
My brother Larry, but
Larry
he ain't worth a hoot with a hole in it.
He's not very well either.
He ain't worth a hoot with a hole in it.
So, it's kind of bossy, maybe.
He lives so close, too.
He lives the same distance as Alberta.
But
three of them live the same place.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do they?
He's staying at the farm while Dad and Mama's in.
I see.
No, there's three living going down.
Larry, and Lowell, and Alberta. They all live right there together. And they're all henpecked.
Do all their own thinking.
No, they don't even need that. They don't even need a head because of it. Women does all the thinking.
Well, now your sister didn't look like she was very
impressed. Is that the word?
Dominating.
You just wasn't around at the right time.
Oh, is that right?
She has ideas.
And they usually take her idea too.
Yeah. Well, it takes a
song,
boss.
I tell you, guy, I ain't bragging, but I guess I'm the only one of the whole family that stand up for my own right and do what I please.
That's about true.
Yeah, takes consequences.
Just about true. And he's almost like his daddy. That's what his daddy did.
Are you like your daddy?
Oh, they're just two peas in the pod. I told his dad that one time. He didn't like it too well, but I think he's got the kind of conclusions I was right.
Yeah.
Oh, they act alike, they think alike, they look alike, and they walk alike, and they get in a hurry. I don't know which one can go the fastest. And
yeah.
Grandpa can go just as fast as Leo when he gets in a hurry.
Yeah.
That age doesn't have a thing to do with it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Why, you should have seen him. He was just like a chicken with his head cut off yesterday.
Like when Dad was my age?
Hey, why, he was just running around over there. And we kept saying we had to go home, and we needed to go home, and he kept talking, and he'd jump from one to the next one, like, just trot. Ah, I didn't have had that much energy.
Just,
and he was
just
my age.
Checking in with everybody.
He was the office horse trader ever was.
He what?
He was the office horse trader ever was when he was my age.
Well, now, he talked like that yesterday. What is the magic of that saying, give me your price to the last dime? I notice you use that expression. It means nothing at all to me.
All right. It's just like this. When a man walks up and asks me how much I'll take for a particular item.
Yeah. You price it so you got a little to trade on.
I'll price it so I've got a little to trade on. If he walks up and says, now look here, you tell me the least dime will buy that particular item.
Yeah. you tell him that you tell him what you take.
I'll tell him what I'll take, and I'll stay right there. I will not
do. And won't show any holder.
No, sir.
Is that a going?
That's a going thing up there.
It is.
Yeah.
Tell me the least dime.
Tell me the least dime. We'll buy that horse, and that's it.
No more talk.
If a man wants the horse, he'll say okay. If he don't, he'll turn around and walk off.
Well, he don't need to walk off. He can just talk about something else.
Well, 99 times out of 100, they'll just walk off.
Go find another bargain.
They go try to find
another. Try to find another.
Well, I quit looking for bargains now. For a long time now, I've just tried to get my money for it.
That's a bargain.
Just pay what they ask and hope it's what they say it is. Or what I think it is. But you know, the trouble now is the people that sell it to you never use it themselves. They don't know any more about it than you do.
Isn't that the truth?
It's real funny. Grandma put on a dress this morning after we came back, you know, to get ready to leave. We were talking about it, and when Doris was down here, she was talking about a shorts cost a quarter that Alberta bought, you know. Alberta's about as bad a trader as Leo when it comes to such things. So I was kidding Alberta. I said, well, what'd you do, Alberta? Pay a quarter for this? She had bought the dress. And she said, well, now let me think. And she started naming over. She bought three dresses and two or three blouses, and I don't know what. She just paid a dollar for all of it. She said, now you just figure out your price. She says, I don't know how much it cost. But she'd been to a rummage sale or something, you know, they had, you know. But they're always looking for something, bargains or something.
I cooked in that bunch of towels you brought.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Grandpa said, he went into the store and he picked up the coffee in the container in the place where it was supposed to be on sale. Mm-hmm. And said the man, when he went to check out, charged him the full price. He just went ahead and paid it, you know. Leo would do the same thing. He'd go ahead and pay it too. But Alberta says, now let me tell you, she says, if I go through the line when there's something on sale and I pick it up myself, I said, I tell him about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now Leo doesn't. He's like his daddy. He'd pay the full price. Whatever they charge me, I pay you.
Well, now, he didn't do that on the horse.
Now, no, but this is groceries. Not on a horse, on food.
On the veterinary, vet. I don't quite see how that would happen. He priced it ahead of time. The vet
right.
told him.
That's right.
And then he jumped the price.
After he got there and then done the work, well, he jumped the price. He knew he had bad fowl, see?
Well, work's not that short, is it?
That type of work is, yes.
You mean the veterinarians don't have enough to do?
No. They're too far apart. And then they can't, they have to charge so much that people just won't get them.
Oh, a vet up there has to come so many, many miles.
65 miles.
They just don't have a close vet.
65 miles.
Oh.
You need
one. Going to have to get a wagon and be able to take your animals in.
Yeah, do like Daddy does. If he can do it at all, he'll dock them himself.
Well, if you have an animal that's real sick, it's going to die before one gets there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, if it needed help real bad. I know cases where we used to carry little lambs in and thaw them out by the fireplace.
Yeah.
Pigs. And, in fact, we raised a pig that was froze to death and thawed him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Helen killed it. My brother killed it and Helen canned it and she brought it to Florida.
That's left. The fall we moved down here. I said, I wasn't about to, after I raised that little old fella, I wasn't about to go up and leave him.
It's just about that long. A least little old thing wasn't
it? It was
rough.
I mean, it was almost right. Froze to death when we took it and thawed it out and put it in front of the fire and babied it and played with it and fed it with a bottle and I'd raised the thing. Well, I wasn't about to leave it up there. I canned it. He'd chase that thing and that's big enough to fix fence. I'd fix fence and I had done everything to keep that hog in. I wasn't about to leave it. And I canned every bit of it too. I didn't leave a thing.
She even put a squeal in the paper bag and still got it.
So we wrapped up the tail for something. Somebody, just for a joke. He can save the tail. No, and we moved to Umatilla. Altoona, when we first moved down here. And the lady we rented from, she hadn't sprayed the house. And of course, you know, when they went inside, they were spraying for termites. Went on the back porch, they did, oh, this, those men just said that. I had the whole back porch full of canned stuff. They had never seen so much canned stuff in all their life.
Beans and apples, peaches and berries, meat.
Well, I had worked all fall, trying to get everything canned up, and I couldn't leave it.
No. Well, I brought a 3/4 ton GMC truck loaded.
Most of it was canned stuff, food.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was loaded with food.
It was nothing to can 100 and 125 to 150 quarts of berries or same amount of beans. Why, yes, we canned beans like that.
Sure, Faye, don't you remember they got something to can up there? Down here, there's nothing to can.
No, I told Grandma this morning, I said, you know, I'm just about out of the canning business. But I've forgotten how. But it was nothing to can 100 quarts of beans or 150 quarts.
I'd like to take you up to Mama's cellar and just let you just blink one eye back through there.
Yeah.
The cellar.
She told me a new way to can pickle corn.
Let me tell you.
You know, we used to put it in big old jars and weight it down with a rock.
She got berries, jelly, preserves, peaches, beans.
Oh, apple butter made over an open fire in a big kettle.
Apple butter, plum butter. Canned cabbage, canned squash.
Canned sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes.
No wonder she lost 20 pounds.
You name it and it's in that cellar, just about.
We used to have a great big crock of pickled corn, a great big, and another great big one of pickled beans, another great big one of kraut, plain kraut, and then we had another smaller one of tomato kraut. That was green tomatoes sliced in your kraut with hot peppers.
And then over there we had a great big wooden barrel. Got that
salt brine pickles.
Sulfured apples.
Oh yeah, sulfured apples, but we had salt brine pickles. She made those in crocks. They didn't last long. As soon as they were ready to eat, everybody ate them, had to make another batch.
Mm-hmm. Sulfured apples.
Yeah.
And we used to dry leather britches, you know, dry beans and put leather britches, or what we call leather britcher beans in the winter.
Yeah.
Soak the, you know, you dry them whole and all, and you soak them.
Before you cook them and put them
soak
on.
Soak them and bring them back to the right size, and you cook them in the winter. We call them leather britches.
It just tastes like green beans.
Oh, it had a different taste.
There was a lot more dried stuff at one time, wasn't there? Compared to the canned stuff. The canning came in with the home economics teachers and the demonstration. Don't you remember the county agent used to have a demonstration?
And they had canneries then.
Yeah.
They started, you know.
Yeah.
Dried apples, dried beans, peaches.
Dried beans.
Yeah.
That's what they call the ones who are soaked.
Dried
And then we fixed apples. We had so many apples. This is a good apple year. This is one of the best apple years in a long time.
Fill up your car with apples when you come back.
We'd fix apples, applesauce, apple butter. We'd can apples, cook them in can. We fixed apples with aspirins.
I may take
and can them.
May drive this Ford truck home with me.
We canned.
I go to get Frank.
You put aspirins in and cover them with, apples, raw apples in your jar. Cover them with water and put two aspirins to a quart or I forgot now how many you put. Seal it up.
That's all you do.
And they keep and you fry them in the winter.
Isn't that? Never heard of that.
We think we had about everything you could think of, and when you live out that way, Celia was out of work for about.
2.5 years.
Yeah. And everything, almost everything we ate came.
I was out of work for 2.5 years.
In the 50s?
Yeah.
Late 50s.
Late 50s?
Mm-hmm. He came out of the hospital on Wednesday. Harry Dan was born on Saturday. It was in January. And he didn't work for about 2 years. Was it 2 years?
That's not when they struck.
No, he was.
No.
But we were on the farm where we had our own meat, eggs, milk, and I had canned everything. And it was very little we had to buy.
Yeah.
On the store.
Well, you got a right smart experience there on the farm then, didn't you?
Yes, sir. That's how come me to know when they bought that tractor and the equipment. Because when I left there, they replaced me with the tractor and all that equipment.
He did all the work with the horses.
And that's Uncle Cluster's equipment.
That's right.
Now, he retired.
Right.
And when he came to Florida, Leo came to Florida the same month, the same time, and passed him on the road.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We left the same day.
Left the same day, and Aunt Icy told last night, said Leo passed us on the road.
And they stopped here in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. But Leo was pulling, I didn't come, that was in October, I didn't come until December. Leo pulled a trailer down for an elderly couple. And he stayed on down here and worked and came back Christmas time to get me.
Yeah.
That's when I had my hog. In December.
When I left West Virginia, I had $2.71 in my pocket.
That was it.
I had a truck, had $2.71 in my pocket, and this old man that brought me down here, Daddy helped bury him last week.
Mm-hmm.
Grover Henshaw.
But Leo had been out of work for so long.
Well, what year was that she came?
1959.
You've been down here, or ever since.
That's right.
Doing all sorts of things, in and out.
I've done a little bit of everything.
You know more about Florida than the legislature.
I've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
That's why I said I wouldn't want to ever have to go back home with me. Boy, those 2 years were hard years. I mean, I carried waters, I don't know how far. Had to go through a set of bars and to wash now. And every time I'd go through, I'd have to put the bars back up and then put them back down for the next trip. And I'd have to carry 4 and 5 tubs of water. When the babies were little, you know, you had to have diapers and things.
Now, that was over at Chagatta.
That was up around the, well, his house was here, and we had to go up the bottom and walk up back up this bottom. It was out of sight, but it was really over the hill, you know.
No road into the house.
No, we walked in and out.
You mean it wasn't in the house, right?
No, not in the house with his mom and dad. We lived in another house.
There's another house there.
But it was, and it belonged to his brother, but he sold it. I don't know who belongs to him.
Oh, I see.
But I stayed up there a lot of times by myself. Up in the holler, we called it.
Yeah. Oh.
And, but we had to walk in and out, and mud and slush and that. But I had to carry water a long ways to wash. And I can what I can.
Yeah.
I can that over an open fire in the wash tub.
Yeah.
You can over an open fire.
And you have to keep your fire going to keep your water boiling, and then to keep enough water on to keep enough hot water otherwise, you know, to boil dry. You can for 3.5 hours, you know, to keep.
Cook it for 3.5 hours.
Cook and a half, you know, 3.5 hours to can. Yeah, we can enough.
You
yeah.
didn't have pressure counters.
No.
Like that.
I used the wash tub.
Uh-huh.
And we need to put boards in the bottom to put our jars on, set my jars on, you know, to keep them from breaking.
Uh-huh. And you had 3 children then.
Mm-hmm.
3 children, a milk cow.
And a hog.
A hog and a horse.
That's the end of Channel 2 Right, and this surprise visit of Cookie and Helen about supper time this Monday afternoon, the 23rd of August, 71. The end of Channel 2 Right, and continuation of the visit with Cookie and Helen this Monday afternoon, 23rd of August, 71. This is the end of Channel 2 Right, and continuation of the visit with Cookie and Helen this Monday afternoon.